first reading today is from the book of Jonah. When God saw what the people of Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah. He became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said while I was in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Is it right for you to be angry about the bush? And he said, Yes, angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, You are concerned about the bush, labor, in which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals? Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We will read Psalm 145 responsively. I will exalt you, my God, and bless your name forever and ever.
Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. There is no end to your greatness.
Generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your power.
I will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty and all of your marvelous works.
They tell of the might your wondrous acts, and I will recount your greatness.
They shall publish the remembrance of your great goodness. They shall sing joyfully of your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
Our second reading comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 1. For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I'm convinced of this, I know that I'll remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent to hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Since you are having the same struggles that you saw I had, and now here I still have, Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Please read our gospel. Hallelujah. Let your face shine up on your servant and teach me statutes. Hallelujah. Our gospel reading today is from the book of Matthew. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever right." So they went. He went out again at noon and again at 3 o'clock and did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them only also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "Those last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who borne the burden of the day, scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the equal daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same I gave to you. Am I not allowed with what I choose, with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord. The children want to come up front. Morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Did you guys hear the gospel message? Do you know what it said? It basically talked about the story of a guy that worked all day long in the heat, and then another guy that came in and only worked 1 hour, and they received the same amount of pay. What do you guys think about that? Unfair. So, but didn't the guy agree at the beginning of the day to work a full day for a full day's pay? And isn't that exactly what he got?
Yeah.
So technically, fair or not fair?
Fair.
Just kind of a matter of perspective. Do you guys ever have situations at home where you say, "That's not fair"? Yeah. When? It is fair? See, the little guy knows.
No, not.
Just last night?
No, that's a bit.
That what? It's not fair that what? More fidgets than him. Did you? Any?
None.
Zero.
One.
One? We'll see. So that brings me to a word in the English language called gratitude. Have you ever heard of that word, gratitude? It's kind of a long word. It's kind of an interesting word because it's almost like it's the combination of two different words. What's the end of gratitude if you take off the GR?
Attitude.
And then the R kind of is like great, right? So gratitude is really having a great attitude and kind of being thankful for what you have. And then we're in the season of, we're getting towards the season of fall, so pretty soon it'll be, what's one of the holidays coming up? November. It'll be Columbus Day, and then
Christmas.
What's before Christmas?
Holy.
It's on a Thanksgiving. That's right. That's right. Halloween also. Yeah, there's a lot of holidays coming up. Yes. So Thanksgiving is the time where we give thanks for what we have, but really we can do that all year round, right? Okay. All right, let's have a little prayer. Guys, repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for all the things in my life. My family, my friends, and my health. And thank you for giving me gratitude to be happy in my life. Amen.
Amen.
Is anybody want a sticker? Life's not fair, right? We hear it all the time, not just from our kids, but from members of the media, community, family, friends, neighbors. And that was the mantra of the early morning worker who worked all day in the heat and received the same daily wage as the person that strolled in at 5 o'clock and worked only 1 hour. Life's not fair, he said. But indeed, was it? Didn't he agree to a daily wage for a daily work day of work? And isn't that exactly what occurred? In this case, he was painting himself as a victim in this situation. But what the gospel didn't tell us was a man that worked right along beside him. That man worked all day in the same heat, under the same circumstance, under the same wage agreement. At the end of the day, he received his daily wage from the landowner, and he said, "Thank you." And he smiled, put the money in his pocket, and he went home and celebrated his family. This is a clear example of the difference between a victor and a victim. In the English language, those two words are only separated by the very two small letters at the end. But in reality, those two types of people are separated by leaps and bounds on how they live their lives. This summer, the accounting firm that I worked for had a large gathering of all of our senior managers and partners from the firm, offices across the country. There are 200, 300 people there. Now, whenever you do this, you always have to have like a keynote speaker, right? Somebody to come in and fire everyone. And that's exactly what they did. Our firm brought in a man named John O'Leary. Has anyone heard of John O'Leary or heard his story? Some are, and if you're not, maybe you've heard of his story too. John, about 30 years ago, when he was a 9-year-old boy, he's growing up in a town outside of St. Louis. Now, when you're a 9-year-old impressionable boy, what do you want to do? You want to be just like the 13 and 14-year-old boys, right? Well, at this time, the 13 and 14-year-old boys were playing with gas and fire. They would pour a little small puddle of gasoline on the ground, on the sidewalk, on the yard, and then they would stand back and take a match and light it and throw it at the pool of gasoline, and poof, you know, dancing flames and hoots and hollers from everyone involved. Everyone thought it was the greatest thing. John decided one Saturday morning that he was going to try this. So when his parents weren't around, he went out to the garage, he took a piece of paper, he hit it, he put it on the workbench, he walked over and grabbed the 2-gallon gas can, walked back over to the flame, lifted the gas can high in the air, and before the actual gas even hit the flame, the fumes caused an explosion. And to spare you the details, John's life was forever changed. But his attitude and faith were unbroken. To this day, almost 30 years later, he still travels around the country, in fact around the world, delivering his message about living your life on fire. Kind of an ironic message, but that's the title of his book and that's the title of his message. He does this despite every, you know, scars over almost his entire body, every in pain as he goes to bed, every morning in pain when he wakes up. John delivered several messages to us during that hour, hour and a half of book, but the most important concept to me that I took away was the difference between a victor and a victim, as was displayed in today's gospel. Remember that the victim and victors walk the same path in life. You can't choose the path in life that you walk, but you can choose the manner in which you walk it. We have a great gift in life in the fact that we can choose whether to perceive life as victim circumstances or victors over them. Victors and victims see the same thing in life. They just see it through a totally different lens. One of the key differences comes in the three questions that they ask themselves. So I'm going to start by the three questions that a victim often always asks. And then when I'm done, I'll ask us to kind of stop asking those questions. I do it myself. We'll try to do it together. On the flip side, we'll talk about the three questions that a victor often asks. These three totally different questions. This question that a victim often asks, and you've heard it time and time again, is, why me? Right? Why me? Why do I have the worst luck? Why do terrible things always happen to me? Victims literally wake up in the morning, they hear the alarm clock ring, they reach over, they shut off, they take a deep breath. Why me? Quite a way to start the morning, right? But it doesn't stop there, does it? On the way to work, they think, oh, why do I live in the Midwest where one day it's 100 degrees and the next day it's 40 degrees? I don't know whether to run my air conditioner or heater. Either way, it's expensive. Then they get to work and they think, oh, I have this crummy job. My boss hates me. My coworkers hate me. I hate my job. Everything's just terrible, right? Then they come home and they see this same weather. They think, I was running my heater this morning on the way to work, and now I'm running my air conditioner in my car on the way home. This is just terrible. In San Diego, they have the same weather every day. It's sunny and 75, right? Just like the country song, sunny and 75. Now, this question that a victim asks is, who cares? Really, who cares, right? If I do this differently, if I go this extra mile, who really cares? In general, who really cares about me at all? I could probably count the number of people on one hand that really care about me. My neighbor doesn't care about me. My boss doesn't care about me. The cashier at the grocery store doesn't care about me. My local government officials don't care about me. I didn't vote last election, but I can still complain about the results, right? If they don't care, then why should I? Which leads us to our third question that you hear victims ask. What more can I do? I mean, I get up every day. I go to church. I pay my bills. I follow the laws and rules that are out there. What more can I do? I'm so busy in my life, hauling kids around, going to meetings, doing everything I need to do, getting groceries, cleaning the house. In the end, what more can I do? Victim literally looks down, they clenches their fists, they look down at the ground and say, what more can I do, as they shake? Now, we're all guilty of asking one of these three questions at some time in our lives, right? I am myself. So the question is, how do we change? Well, the first is to be aware of it. Since John came and talked to our accounting firm in June, I found myself catching myself a couple times being aware of myself asking these three questions. It's really hard to change. The first step is just being aware. So if I'm suggesting we stop asking these three questions, then what three questions does a victor ask? Well, as I mentioned before, it's three totally different questions. It starts when the alarm clock rings in the morning. The victor wake up. They're tired, too. It's not like they just jump out of bed, but they're tired, too. They sit up. They shut the alarm clock off. They take a deep breath, and they say, why? Why me? Why am I so lucky to have my health, my job, my family, my friends, my home? Why am I so lucky to see the beauty of this sunrise in the morning, which if anybody's seen one this week, awesome, awesome sunrises. They drive and they think, why am I so lucky to live in the Midwest where we don't have devastating hurricanes and earthquakes and natural disasters? Why do we see the beauty of the four seasons, the changing colors in the fall, and the potential beauty of a white Christmas in the winter? Why am I so lucky? Victors are constantly gracious. Gratitude is a choice, and gratitude matters. There's some fascinating research out there that shows that gratitude has been proven to foster empathy, increase moods, and enhance relationships, even lengthen lives. There's a study out there about a group of nuns where they tracked journal entries throughout the course of time in their 20s and 30s and 40s. And then when, at the end, it was a long study, obviously, but they found that the nuns that had positive, inspiring entries in their journals versus the nuns that had negative entries, the difference in the lifespan was almost 5 years. It was a pretty incredible study. I thought that was interesting. So contrary to so many things in life that we cannot change, our sense of gratitude is a choice. The second question that a victor asks is, who cares? I mean, look around. Imagine the list. Our kids, our parents, our neighbors, our family, our friends. The cashier at the grocery store that asks us if we found everything okay. Our local government officials who sit through board meetings. They're unpaid. They're here for this time to try to make our town a better place. Sometimes people we don't even know. I ran a 5K yesterday morning in Warren. As I'm going around the town, there's people standing outside saying, good job, great work, keep it up. There's one spot where we were going down and other runners were coming back. And some of these runners were going a lot faster than I were, and they still took the time to say, good job, keep going. How powerful is that? These people don't even know me and they care about me. So you can see the difference here between a victor and a victim, where the victor could make a laundry list of people that care about them. And they're right. The third question you probably figured out by now, and you're probably not paying attention. The third question is, what more can I do? Right? Now, while the victim asks the question with fists clenched, looking down at the ground, The victor asks this question with an open mind and open hands, looking up to the Lord. What more can I do? We live in a time where we're very busy, our lives are busy. We're expected to do more and more with less and less. And now I'm standing up here asking you to do more, right? Well, I'm not truly asking you to do more. I'm just asking you to be more intentional with what you do. And I think you'll find that if you do that, you'll actually find yourself doing less and probably having more fun doing it. If you could just pick one item in your relationship, your health, a project, your job, and try to think to yourself, what can I do? What is one thing I could do to make this situation better tomorrow than it was today? I think you'll find you'll have pretty great joy. When John spoke to us in June, he shared a quote from a man named Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl was a Holocaust survivor. He wrote a book about how he got through the grueling days of the Holocaust. And he said, when you know your why, you can endure anyhow. When you know your why, you can endure anyhow. I thought that was a pretty powerful message. So if nothing else, if you take anything else away from today, I hope you can at least try to stop saying life's fair and start saying life is a gift and I'm going to live it as a victor. Amen. Please stand. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all God's creation. Let us pray for the church and its ministry. Unite us in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy. God who stretched the spangled heavens, we praise you for the gift of the sun, moon, stars, mountains, valleys, grasslands, and deserts. Lord, in your mercy. God of great mercy and love, you show faithfulness and kindness to the world every day. Guard those who suffer because of dishonest policies, corrupt government, or unfair labor practices. Lord, in your mercy. God, you provide for all our needs. We pray for those who are homeless, jobless, or hopeless. We pray for those who are forgotten, ignored, or isolated. We pray for all who are in need, especially Ruth, Mary B., Eric, Mary E., LaVon, Helen, Laban and Mackenzie, and Ron. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the congregation in our neighborhood. Accompany us whenever we are on our journey of faith. Give us joy, present, and hope for the future. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our congregation in our neighborhood. Accompany us where we are on our journey of faith. Give us joy in the present and hope for the future. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks to those who are in the midst of celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. Jared Herman, Karen Dick, Jason Warner, Charlotte and Beckett Ernst, Callett Meyer, Aiden Larson, Peyton Brocious, William Heidenreich, Bob Kappas, Kristen Wright, Crystal Millershone, and Tim and Heather Larson. Lord, in your mercy. God of endings and beginnings, we remember before you all the faithful departed. Comfort those mourn. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting the power of Christ and the gifts of the Spirit. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share the peace.
Very well done.
Thank you. Peace. Thank you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Thank you. What's that?
Your hands are cold.
It is. It's blowing. It's blowing. Peace be with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Peace be with you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Peace with you, Barb.
Peace be with you.
Peace with Tammy. Thank you. Thank you. Peace be with you, Angie. Peace. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, peace be with you. Thanks. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Hey, Connie. Peace be with you. Thanks for coming. Peace with John.
Good job, Steve.
Thanks. Peace with the sweetest. Look out. Peace be with you, Dave.
Peace.
Peace be with you. Peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Garrett. Thank you. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Thank you. Peace be with you, Joe. Happy birthday to your son. O God of justice and love, we give thanks to you that you illuminate our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need, awaken us to the need of others, and at the end bring all the world to your feast. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, pray as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God, creator of all things, speaking reformation into being, Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, raising the dead, Holy Spirit, lifting voice, calling and enlightening the church, Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go in peace. Sound the good news.